This is our sixth, I believe, shir in the Oros HaMusar, Lights of Musar series, studying the works of some of the great Chachmei HaMusar. Before Purim, we studied a couple pieces from Rabbi Ruchem Lefovitz of Mir, and I'd like to continue in his writings. Happens to be what I've been learning with the men for a few months now, from this sefer that's now called the Da'as Chachmei HaMusar series. It was originally called the Chever Ma'amarim, the Compendium of Essays, and since Pesach is not right around the corner, don't worry, you have plenty of time, but Musar-wise it is. So let's learn something. It's actually remarkable how many Shiurim and Musar they delivered on Pesach. Pages and pages and pages of just Musar Mamar. Remember, this is the side study in Yeshiva of Shiurim he gave on Pesach. Today we're on page Kufyud Aleph in the Da'as Chacham Musar, Maimer Lamed Zayin. You can see by the date, it says Leil Hiskadesh Chag HaPesach. That's a phrase borrowed from the Navi, but it means the night of Pesach. Okay, this is the eve of Pesach, probably said before Maariv, because I can't imagine that after Maariv he was giving a Maimer, it's time for the Seder. But this was probably said leading up to Maariv, the eve of Pesach, in either 1934 or 1935. It strikes me that when Rabbi Ruchem is talking on Yom Tov, I think the Mamarim are a little bit lighter and easier to understand. I think that was said to the whole yeshiva, whereas some of the other Mamarim were said to, that are printed in this sefer anyway, were said to like the elite Bachrim. So sometimes the Yom Tov related ones are a little bit easier to understand. And I think this one, Mamar Lamed Zayin, fits into that category. So we should be able to understand it. The title they gave it is Bedikas Chametz V'Chipus Chadrei Votan. The search for chametz and the searching out of the chambers of one's insides, which you'll see soon, is borrowing a phrase from a pasuk. Says the Mashgiach, Rabbi Ruchem Lefovitz, Zechut Tzadok Avroch. Ha'ara shenisararnu aleha. A point that came up to us, we were roused to Me'inyan Bedikas Chametz, on the subject of the search for Chametz. Harishonim Omdu Al Inyan HaChomer Shechmiru Torah Kolkach B'Chametz. The early Mefarshim, the early commentators, analyzed, were troubled by, and spoke about, and analyzed the severity with which the Torah treats Chametz. And you see in the parentheses, he refers us to the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. At the end of Parshas Bo, you have two short parshios about tefillin, which include reference to the Exodus from Egypt. And the Ramban first talks about tefillin locally and then says, I want to tell you something important. He has like this concluding piece at the end of Parshas Bo, where he says you should know that man has gone through different stages of denial of God. There are those who thought he existed but isn't paying attention, God forbid, or that altogether doesn't exist. Different phases of denial. And since it is rare but important that Hashem intervene. Oh, and he also says, and there are those who believe that God exists and he's watching, but that man has no free will. And that therefore he's not really intervening in our behavior because we're just a bunch of earthworms. He mentions all the different heretical philosophies there. And he says, so when God comes along and demonstrates that no, evil will be punished and good will be victorious, and he changes nature to do so, that wakens man up, awakens man and makes him aware of his existence and his hashkocha and so on and so forth. And he says that's why the Torah goes so far with the importance, the repetition of, but also the severity of matters relating to Yetzias Mitzrayim. So many things we do are commemorative of the Exodus from Egypt, so many mitzvahs, so many references in the Torah. And there's also what to be pointed out for the fact that the Torah is so strict about it. Chametz is such a strict avera. So the Ramban there says, that's also part of the picture. The reason why the Torah is so strict about it is because we can't forget this. It's not every century that Hashem is going to do those kind of miracles. It's way back in history, but it's so important to remember, we have to be very serious about it. Okay, so the Ramban and others raise the question at the very least. That's the Ramban's approach to the answer, why we're so strict, but they raise the question. Shalom Atzina B'Torah Dugmaso, beginning of the third line, we don't find anything like it. There's nothing similar to it in the Torah. Amnam, indeed, Isser Kares, Matzinu Baharbe Averos, the punishment of Kares for a deliberate sinner, somebody knows better and does it anyway, we find with regard to other Averos, Kares, either his soul being cast off, premature death, whatever it is, it's a severe punishment, that we do find with regard to other sins. Aval Bishum Makom, but in no place, Lo Matzinu Isser Bal Yiroh Bal Yimatze, a prohibition that not only can't you eat it, but it can't be around. You can't own it. That we have nowhere else. Zulasi b'chametz, other than chametz. So it's so strict. On the one hand, something that's really kosher, you eat it all year. Then all of a sudden, not only is it not kosher, you can't own it. Such a astringency. V'hanira b'ktar, what appears to be correct, in short, is shachomer shechmiru, should be hechmira, this stringency with which they were strict. He probably says they because he means the rabbinic law also, but it has its root in the Torah. Humishum chumra de chametz atzma is because of the severity of chametz itself. What does he mean? He means as opposed to the Ramban's approach and others, not to the exclusion of them, but he's saying that's not the whole point. In other words, according to the Ramban that I just told you, it's not really chametz itself. It's that chametz is commemorative of the Exodus, and the Exodus is what's so important. Right? In other words, according to that way of understanding it, it's not really that we need to be so strict about chametz. There's nothing about chametz per se that's so bad or we have to have such attention to. It's because it's connected to the idea of the Exodus from Egypt, and that's what we have to be so careful with. But the Mashgiach is saying what appears to be correct. Yeah, he's not arguing in the Ramban, but he's adding an additional layer of meaning, is that there's something about chametz per se. It's not what, because of what chametz reminds you of or connects to. It's chametz per se, shehu gufa, that it itself, hinu, it is, hasiba l'chol ha-chomer ha-gadol ha-zeh, the reason for all of this great severity, shalom atzinu dugmasa, that we don't find anything like it. V'hameven, one who is understanding, v'hayodeyan, one who knows, sod shel isarusa d'lasata v'isarusa d'la'ela, those are Kabbalistic terms that I will reveal, because this is a special audience. Isarusa d'lasata, isarusa d'la'ela are terms that they use in Svarim. Isarusa in Hebrew would be hisorus, rousal. Lasata means above, a bit below rather, and d'la'ela, like la'ela, la'ela, mikol v'chol, means above. The idea is that we do things down below, and that causes things up above.
So he's saying if you prepare or get rid of homage.
Well, he hasn't explained himself yet. Hold on. Yeah. You should just know that he goes on for many, many pages talking about the asymmetry of what we do in Olam Hazeh and what it causes in Olam Abba. And it's like Hashem rigged the system. Really, though, you could do a little mitzvah and you can do this and it causes such big things. It's very lopsided. It's because Hashem set it up that way. He gave man tremendous power, both for good and for bad. So it's arusa de la sada, it's arusa de la ela. We do small things here, and of course it has big effects. So one who understands that, who yira, well, he will see, sheba chametz, that in chametz, yeshtan be'emes kol elu midos shemadadu bo chazal. All of the midos that Chazal were talking about, shemat imim lazeh, that it's parallels, again, the word te'umim are twins, things that are synchronized, that line up, that parallel, kol dinei hachametz v'halchos, of all of the laws of chametz, all of its halachos, meaning, if you really understand the deeper meaning here, you'll see it all makes perfect sense. Let's see what he means. Matzinu b'psachim dav zayinim beis. We find in the Gemara in Psachim, bodkin es hachametz la'or haner. We search for chametz to the light of a candle. Minan emileam or of chister. From where do we know this? So the Gemara has like a triple drasha. It says, lo yematze lecha chametz. Chametz can't be found to you. Then there's a pasuk that has the word matze and has the word chipus in it, which means search. There's a pasuk that has chipus and ner. And then there's another pasuk, which is the one he wants to get to, which shows that ner is the best way to search for something. Lamanu v'chulun v'neros miner. We learn the power of neros from a candle. D'chsiv, as it says in Mishlei, excuse me, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam Chofes Kochad Rivatan. The candle of Hashem is the soul of man, which searches out all of the chambers, the inner chambers. Betzen sometimes means a belly, but here it means the insides. Hashem is this radiant light, but you can't use an infinite light to search for something. You need a little flame. You need a little candle from it. The neshama of man is what he has from Hashem, which can shine light and help him search out and find what he needs to do, fix what he needs to fix. Apparently the Gemara is telling us it's all predicated on the idea that man's neshama is like a candle. U'mistama tzarech lama shebedikas chametz v'chipus chadrei v'otan yesh tam shaychu zel azeh. Apparently, you have to say that searching for chametz and searching out, man scrutinizing, introspectively analyzing himself, have a connection one to another.
Is he saying that Hashem looks with his candle, which is our neshama? No, he's saying we should look.
Yeah, he gives us the ability to look at ourselves. I mean, many, many, many svarim talk about this. What he's presenting here is a basic idea that chametz symbolizes the Eitz Hara. Chazal use it that way, and we'll see why a little bit. Bedikas chametz therefore symbolizes, or more than symbolizes, the task of search and destroy, seeking out the Eitz Hara, getting rid of it, and purifying oneself. Yisbonei na ha'adam ba'ofan bedikas chametz. Man should please contemplate the way of bedikas chametz, what you do. Let's look at some of the halachas from the Gemara. Ein bodkin lo la'ar hachama v'chuli. You can't check, not by the sunlight, not by the moonlight. Ela la'ar haner, only candlelight. Mipnei she'ar haner yafe l'bedika. Because candlelight is good for searching. That's the Gemara. Dafka b'layla, particularly at night. B'shah she'achoshech yichasa aretz, at a time when darkness covers the land. U'sviva v'choshech v'arafel, and all around them is darkness. Dafka Uz, specifically then, Huzman Bedikas Chametz, is the time for Bedikas Chametz. Virak al Yidei Haner, and only by way of a candle, Hamefetz Kave Oro al Shetach Mugbol Mitztantzem. A candle only projects the rays, the kavim or lines, the rays of its light on a very limited area. Shetach is an area, Mugbol is boundary, border, contained. It's limited. Kol ha'ar al makom echad, and all the light focuses on one area. V'oz hakol nira yosem yasher bayom. Then all is more visible than by day. Interesting phenomenon. How do you check for chametz? Only a time when it's very dark, and you're using a small candle that can only search out a limited area at a time. It's not like daylight where you see everything at once. Only at a time when you really, you know, we're so used to electricity that we don't even appreciate this. It takes a blackout, lo aleinu again, but it takes a power outage to appreciate what it is, what nighttime is, and what candlelight is, that you really only see a limited area at a time.
Gam ofen hachipus, also the way of the search, mavhil hu ma'od, is very astounding. Holech ha'adam mecheder lecheder. Man goes from room to room. Mipina lepina, from corner to corner. Bodek b'chorin u'stokin. These are all halachas. And he checks in the cracks and crevices. U'mechapis achar kol mashu chametz. And he searches after every little bit of chametz. Gam leboros u'martefin, also into, we would call it basements and attics, or like pits and cellars. Yerid Livdok Benera, who goes down. Let me go down. You know, sometimes we would get wine from the wine cellar during the meal. Let me go down and check. We didn't drop any breadcrumbs there. Ad Sha'ola Biyodo, until he succeeds. Levaris Kola Chametz Shebreshuso, to eliminate all of the chametz in his possession. Nifla Ma'od Masa HaMitzvah Hazeh. Very incredible, this mitzvah activity. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. The candle of Hashem is the soul of man. Ha'neshama hakadosh hirak bebechinas ner beguf ha'adam. This is an amazing point. The holy neshama is only like, when we say something is in a bechina, in more modern svarim, I say modern, I mean like, I think the last several centuries, it means a realm of. So it's used a lot in Lumdus, but the neshama is just considered in the realm, in the definition of a candle, in man's guf, in man's physical existence.
I mean, think of the mushal and what that means for the nimshal. A candle in a big dark house is a very little bit of light. Mizeh yisbonin ha'adam godol ha'choshech shebekirbo. This is a great Musar point. From this man can contemplate the great darkness that must be within him. Shagam or ha'neshama eino ela b'b'chinas ner. That even the light of the soul with all of its radiance is just like a little candle. Okay? The world we live in is so dark that the great radiant neshama, which is the greatest, most luminescent thing we're given by Hashem, is only like a little candle in a very dark mansion. in terms of man seeking out and helping to purify himself. The whole makeup of the neshama is just to be able to search out the chambers of man's inside, right? A person's psychological, very sophisticated, very complicated, why I'm doing things and, you know, what makes us act the way we do and what our motives are. That's what all of Musar is about. The neshama helps man do that, but it's a very careful and slow process. You can only check a little bit at a time. And that's why it's been formulated, in Hebrew we refer to the matbeya shel tefila. Matbeya is a coin, but it also means a formula. A coin is something that's minted. This is its teva. This is the way it is. The neshama, the soul, is Hashem made like a candle. It's something that can gradually go surface area by surface area, bit by bit, and help man see what he's really about and fix himself. She'or haner yafe lebedika. Because the light of a candle is good for a search. Just like in Bedikas Chametz, you got to go, when there's too much light, it's too overwhelming, I'm looking at the whole house at once and I miss the crumb of Chametz right in front of my face. When it's dark, you go little by little, then I see this, I see that, I see this. That's the way the Bedikas Chametz of one's Yetzirah, of the struggle between spirituality and physicality and so on, material and spiritual, the way that bedika is done. V'chima mechapes adam bebedikas, and what does man search for in his bedika? Halo rakas ha-chametz, just for chametz, as ha-sa'or sha-be'isa, the leaven in the dough. Chazal karu li-yetzahara sa'or sha-be'isa, the famous Gemara, we say to Hashem, we really want to do your will, what holds us back? The chametz, the sa'or sha-be'isa. Im Kain, if so, Kinira, apparently, Sa'ar Shabi'isa, Machuvin Kinegan Hayetzahara. Apparently, there's some parallel between the leaven and the bread that parallels the Yetzahara. Ulafiza, and if so, Matime Ma'od called Dine Habadika. So then, all the laws of Badika make a lot of sense. Habal Yera, Habal Yematze. How you can't own it, it can't be anywhere. Hamashahu, the prohibition of even the tiniest trace. With everything else, right, somebody was just talking to me about bittul b'shishim, everything else, you have, things are nullified in 60, but on Pesach, if a little crumb, tiny crumb of chametz falls into a huge vat of, let's say, soup that's 1,000 times its volume, 2,000 times its volume, it's not bottle. It's not, if it happens, we pass only if it happens on Pesach. If it was mixed in before, we hold bottle, even though there's an opinion not like that. To the degree that there are even tshuvos how you can drink the drinking water in Israel. What if somebody threw a little piece of bread into the Kinneret on Pesach? So, it's okay, but to the degree that Poskim can talk about such a thing shows you how far it goes.
Why would it be different here?
Huh? Maybe a Jewish-owned chametz. That happens to be where the tshuvas were written, but it's not, we hold it's not a problem, but that's how far it goes. The prohibition of mashahu, so if you're worried about impurities in one's midah, so we understand why even the slightest bit is a problem. We'll move on inyan hachipus hagodol. It's understandable, this great search for v'abedika b'chol chor v'sedek in every hole and crack, shlo yimotze sham af shemetz mashu mehas arshavisa, that there shouldn't be even the slightest vestige or trace of this leaven in the dough. For those who were here when we were learning Rav Kook's Sefer Musar Avicha, he had a piece there where he said that sometimes man does he wasn't using the term bedikas chametz, but a search and destroy of his yetzahara. And the problem is he leaves a little bit. He did a good job of cleaning out a lot of the yetzahara, but there's a little bit left, and it's chozer v'neir. Chozer v'neir means it spreads again, it wakes back up. It's a term that comes up in halacha. I left a little bit, and then I ate a little bit, I ate a little bit more. Does the little bit that I left, does it? It's like dormant non-kosher that becomes active non-kosher by the fact that it stayed there. So we understand very well, if chametz is the root of all evil, it's the yetzahara in man, it's his ra, so he has to eliminate all of it. Ube'emes, and in truth, mi bedikas chametz l'chud, just from bedikas chametz itself, mes ala kvar ha'odam la'ein aroch, man is elevated to an inestimable ein aroch, there's no way to evaluate it. Some of us just heard a choir sing "Ein Aroch Lecha," right? It's Nusach Sfar, the way they we have similar words in the Shabbos brachos of Kriya Shema. But there's no, you can't evaluate it. Umihu sheyuchel es bonein ulahasig kedushas utaharis ish Yisrael v'bodko arli yadalet esachamis beveso. Who is it who can contemplate and grasp the holiness and the purity of Jewish person? Doing bedikas chametz early yadal. It's the first words in the Mishnah in Psachim. Early yadal means the early evening of yadal. We check the chametz. It's such a holy thing because of what it means and what it really represents. Who can fully grasp the holiness of the Jewish people when they're doing this? Next page. Ukimokain. And similarly, kishin is bonin bedine afias hamatzah. When we contemplate the laws of the baking of the matzah, begodel hashimur, the greatness of the watchfulness that you have to have, azahirus, and the carefulness, shelo yachmitz af b'mashu, that it shouldn't be allowed to rise even a little bit, hare be'emes mavhil hu ad ma'od. It's astounding, it's very astounding. Demi zayuchol hishamer, who is it who can be careful, lihinutzel, and to be spared, mechashash mashu chametz b'matzasov, who can be spared even the slightest concern of even a trace of chametz in his matzah? Shekemach ein ze biyecholus adam. It's almost not within human capability. The halacha is that if you stop working the dough, it can become chametz right away. So they're constantly working the dough, but you never. Maybe for 1 second, right, half a second, I stop. Maybe it became chametz. So the reality is the Torah wasn't given to malachim, and therefore we believe that we do it the way it's meant to be done, and we're confident that it's kosher. But if you really think about it, and especially because we're so strict with chametz, it can drive you crazy. That's why people take it very seriously. They tell a story. It's not a nice story, but they tell a story of a brisker and a chassid who are coming back on Erev Pesach from baking their matzahs. The briskers have a minute. I'm always nervous. What about this opinion? What about that opinion? We've been doing right. And chassidim are very happy. It's a chassidish story about it. Chassidim are always very besimcha. So the brisker's walking back and he's sweating and he's nervous. Who knows? Maybe I'm holding chametz in this box. And the chassid comes back and he's so happy he did the mitzvah of baking matzah. It's especially meritorious to bake it on Erev Pesach. There's a chapter in Shulchan Aruch about it. He's so happy he fulfilled the mitzvah. So he's walking nervous. He's walking happy and they encounter each other. And they start talking, and the brisker guy sees that the chassid is so happy, and he's so nervous. So he's, I can understand, you're so happy. Yeah, we did the mitzvah, we did it so well. Long story short, finally, the chassid suggests him, he says, you know what, maybe we should trade. You're so nervous, and you're so jealous, and I'm happy with them. You should take my mitzvah. So he gets his, so not only did he do the mitzvah, but he gets the brisker's matzah. That's the punchline.
Oh, they trade matzah.
Right. But, I mean, the point is that if there's a mitzvah that makes us nervous, this is it.
He has the other guy's
stomach on him. It's supposed to be like an opportunistic joke. Yeah. Not only did he get joyful mitzvah, but he got the high quality matzahs. But anyway, it's apocryphal, I'm sure. Because it's almost impossible. Sharei habotzek machmitz ben rega, because the dough becomes chametz even in an instant. Add to the degree that she'adam yirei shemayim v'atzboni, a person who's God-fearing and is nervous. Halavai sheliyala biyada lefos kazayas matzah, lotzeis b'yidei chavasa. Halavai, he should be able to bake even a kazayas of matzah to do the mitzvah. V'chol yimei hachag b'vada yuchruch l'sparnes b'peiros. And the rest of the Yom Tov, he has to support himself on fruit, meaning first night he has to eat it because for us the first two nights because you have to eat matzah. But the rest of the, he's too nervous. The rest of the yomtov to even eat it because you know to eat matzah. It's only when he has to. The rest of the time it's Swiss chocolate and potato chips, whatever else, which is almost as expensive as matzah. Yeah.
Rick Goldfein is teaching us. Anyway, yes, and there's a thing. There's the mida of watchfulness.
Oh, he's going to talk
so
about
I'm
that.
Thinking
that you hit the nail on the head. Exactly right. He's going to connect it to that. Omnam, and indeed, so, we'll see very shortly. Sipru al Adam Gadol, he told the story about a great person. Sha'ein Dark Olamid B'Shas Afias Matzasim and Neshalibo Nogfo. He's telling a story about a true person. I don't know, he doesn't say who the Adam Gadol was, understandably, but there was a great man who was not able to stand there and watch the matzah. A lot of people like to be involved in the baking of the matzah. He felt he couldn't do it because Libo Nogfo, Libo Nogfo means it made him nervous. His heart would have doubts. They say that Reb Chaim Brisker used to tell Reb Yitzchak Chanan Spector when he had a Shaila. He would tell him, just tell me your psak. Don't tell me your reasoning, because if you tell me your reasoning, I'm going to think I have a counterproof. But you're the posek ador, so just tell me your ruling, and I'll accept it, and that's it. So this person would take the matzahs, but he didn't want to be standing there, because if he's standing, he's going to get nervous. Maybe they didn't do this so well, that so well. I mean, I don't think we're in that madrega. But if there's an area, his point is, it's the kind of mitzvah where if you're going to be nervous in the service of Hashem, this is where it's at. Hazahirus tricha shetia al chutasara, the carefulness is to be like to a hair's breadth. It's not really within the human being's ability to be entirely spared from any chimutz. Except that that's an expression from Chazal. The Torah wasn't given to angels, so therefore it has to be that man can do it. So we do it the way we're supposed to, and we believe that we've done it properly, and we don't second guess ourselves. But it is an area of halacha that goes to a great extreme. So when you think about all that, and according to the concept that what we do here and our actions of mitzvos has effects in much grander ways, so then kishinis bonin beinyan sa'ar shebeisa, when we contemplate this idea of looking out for the chametz and the parallel to the yetzahara, nirabo osa inyan atzmo shebeafias matzah, we see the very same thing. And as when you think about Yetzirah, you see how it really parallels the way you bake matzah. What is baking matzah? It's making chametzless bread, making Yetzirah-less product. Okay, the Hamas Bonin B'Sefer Mesilas Yesharim. Great minds think alike. Chava was immediately drawn to think about Mesilas Yesharim. So was the Mashgiach, and not only that, but even the chapter that you cited. One who thinks about the words of the Mesilas Yesharim, which is the classic Musar Sefer, b'madregos shebebraisa de Reb Pinchas ben Yair, the whole Mesilas Yesharim is structured based on that braisa of Reb Pinchas ben Yair that says this mida leads to this mida leads to that mida. It's a ladder up. Yirazeh b'inyan hazahirus v'hazrizus. You see this in the two midas of care and swiftness. Mahi zahirus, what is care, carefulness? To be very thorough, be very careful. There shouldn't be any vestige of chait left. Not just, generally I'm a nice guy, you know, but with gaping omissions. No, to clean out the Yetzihara, that's what Zahiris really means. Be very careful. To flee from sin like one, I'm sure he said, and tluf der fun vi fun fire, to run away from sin like from fire. Lefashvei shulam maishmeish b'chol yecholto, which means like to, almost means like to massage, and to go over very carefully all of his, with all of his ability to go over his character. Shema yimatze bo zecher kol dehumei hayetzer. Maybe we can find a little bit of some remnant of the Yetzirah. Great Bali Musar analyze everything they do where we think it looks perfectly pure and it's fine. They're thinking, what was the real motive here? Why did I do this? Why did I do that? He's very carefully going over his character to see if there's anything wrong. That's Zahirus, carefulness, looking over every millimeter. V'chein inyan hazrizus. Hazrizus is swiftness. Hinu gamkein ach v'rak inyan zeh. It's the same thing. Hazrizus lasos mitzvah. Swiftness to do a mitzvah. Mitzvah habo liyodcha al tach mitzena. How did Chazal articulate swiftness? When a mitzvah comes to your hand, don't let it turn chametz.
It's a drasha on the words. Ushmartem es ha matzos, ushmartem es ha mitzvah. Same spelling. Just like you watch out, you watch the matzahs, they shouldn't become chametz. You watch mitzvos, they shouldn't become chametz. Meaning, be swift about it. Rav Huttner points out in the Pachat Yitzchak, just like when you're baking matzah and you're not quick about it, it's not just that your matzahs are missing a nice quality.
They're ruined.
So he says, when you same thing with mitzvos. If you're doing a mitzvah and it's with lethargy, it's not just a nice mitzvah lacking the quality of swiftness. If it's without zrizus, the whole mitzvah fell apart. It didn't have the oomph of the whole idea of the mitzvah. Lizar shelo tachmitz, to be careful that it should not turn to chametz. Ki ein sakana kisakana. That's a phrase from the Mesilas Yesharim. There's no danger like that danger. The greatness of Bali Moser is where everybody else says it's not a big deal. The idea of Moser is to see that another Torah is saying it is a big deal. There's a famous Gemara in Sukkah. I think I quoted it not long ago here, maybe. That in the future, Lassad Lavo, Hashem will slaughter the Yetzirah, and the Tzadikim and the Rishonim will both cry. Both the righteous people and the evil people will all cry. The way the Gemara says it is the evildoers will cry and say, look at that little hurdle we couldn't get over. It was like a hair's breadth, we couldn't get over it. And the tzaddikim will say, look at this great mountain that we were able to ascend over. We were able to get past. So everybody else is backwards. You would think the Rishayim would say, oh, the Yetzirah, we couldn't beat it, it was so big. Usually once you've achieved something, your own accomplishment, you don't look at it as such a big deal. That's human nature. I was able to get over it. It's obviously not such a big hurdle. So you'd think it would be the exact opposite. The Rishayim would say, oh, it's such a mountain, it's a shame we couldn't get over it. The Tzadikim would say, yeah, we managed. But the Bali Musar all say, no, it's that Midah. The Tzadik looks at every Yetzihara, every challenge. This is a big deal. Don't take this seriously. This is a big mountain. This is a big deal. And that's why they were successful. The Russia, all right, don't worry so much about this. I said, that should be my worst sin, this, that, the other. And that's why, it was a little thing, but that's why I didn't get over it, because I didn't take it seriously. So the Mesilas Yesharim uses the term, Ein sakana kesakana, so there's no danger like it's danger. And also another quote there, it's really from Chazal, Harbek kategorin yamdu mikan va'ad gicha. That's a Chazal about how Hashem tells David Melch, Shlomo will be king, but there are many, many impediments from now until the Gichon, which is where he was inaugurated. Meaning, it's supposed to happen, but there are many things that could get in the way. When something good is supposed to happen, close the deal, get it done, because there are many possible impediments. What's the whole idea of baking matzah? Get the whole job done. From the minute they yell Vasser, and the guy comes running in and pours the water, and you start... They move and they move and they move until you got the whole thing baked, until it's out of the oven and you've sanded down all the rolling pin. You got it until the product is done. You don't stop moving. You don't say, "Well, are we started? We still have 10 minutes." No. It's get the job done. So the same thing there. When there's a mitzvah project, it's supposed to happen, but there are all kinds of impediments that can come up. Bikatsara, in short. Kol ha'avoda, the whole task is huli yishamer, huli yizayr, to be watchful and careful. Shelo yizganev l'socho af shemetz me'hayetzer. A ganav is a thief, but the idea of a ganav is that he's stealthy, that he sneaks. So shelo yizganev l'socho means that he shouldn't sneak its way in, even a vestige of the yetzer. Ulevaro milibo batachas habir, and to eliminate it from his heart with the fullest degree of elimination. Vinimtza, and thus it turns out, shekashenisha lemisha ofen matzos. If you'd ask somebody who's baking matzos, mahi avodaso, what's his, what? See, I'm here with Channel 2 News. We're interviewing Rabbi so-and-so, baking matzos for the Jewish holiday. What is it you're doing, sir? Mahi avodaso, sorry about that dramatization, but tia chuvaso, his response would be, zehirus uzrizus. Sir, what is it you're doing? I'm doing the chapters 1 and 2 from the book The Path of the Just, which clip would probably not make it to the news because they wouldn't know what he's talking about. But that's the point. If you really ask somebody who's baking matzah, what is he doing? He's doing Zahirus and Zrizus. Just he's doing it in a physical sense. And really, that's symbolic or more than symbolic of what making a chametzless bread is in the spiritual sense. I mean, man producing something that's free of the Yetzirah.
You can't make anything you're normal doing unless you practice
that makes sense. Mm-hmm. The physical practice of Zuizus and Zuhiris helps you to get up in the morning more quickly and watch Nevelas.
Right, which actually is a big yesod that he's, from this, he talks about from many, many Shmuel, like the whole Pesach, he's talking about that man is affected by mitzvah activities, not just by philosophizing. We can understand it all intellectually. If we don't do it, it doesn't happen. So yeah, the baking of the matzah, the cleaning of the chametz, that affects a person. Hamisbonin b'maisah hamitzvah shel erev Pesach. The person who contemplates the mitzvah activities of erev Pesach, yireh, he will see she'ein b'seichel ha'enoshi l'sha'ar godol hatziruv v'hazikuch shebemitzvah erev Pesach. I'm sorry, hatziruv v'hazikuch, comma. It's not within man's seichel, his intellectual capacity to assess, to be matzareif, it's a crucible, means to purify. The tziruf, the purification, and the zikuch also means to purify. I'll be honest, Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz was great enough to say that he couldn't fathom it. I'm not that great, so to me, I think I fathom. What do you mean? So we do it, yeah, it's good. I wouldn't have called it beyond our intellectual capacity, but that's because I have a smaller intellectual capacity. Rabbi Yerucham understood that the activities of Erev Pesach are beyond what human being can comprehend, which is fascinating to me. Shemitzvos Erev Pesach metarim umezakchim es ish Yisrael. These mitzvos purify Yid, Yehudi shel Erev Pesach greda. An Erev Pesach dik a Yid alone. Kfar ein kol beria yechol olamod b'mechitzasa. No creature can stand in his domain. What he's saying is, if you really understand the purity and the spirituality of what we're doing on Erev Pesach, he's like a malach. If we're doing the mitzvahs of Erev Pesach properly, we're already in a different realm. Obviously, I think you see the greatness of a person who could say that he feels that and appreciates that. Mihu sheyuchal lehizbonein godel erkan shel mitzvahs Erev Pesach. Who is it who can contemplate the great value of the mitzvahs of Erev Pesach, v'haroshem she'osim lamala, and the effect, roshem literally means an impression, but it means the effect they have above, isarusa de la ela shemisareres ha'idei isarusa de la sata, the arousal above, it means what it does in the higher realms that Hashem created, based on the arousal down here, we rouse ourselves down here to do what we're supposed to do, and the effect that has in the higher olamos. There are svarim that give us a little window. Certainly Hasidic svarim do, but on the other side of the aisle also, Chaim of Elazhin writes about all of the effects that svarim reveal to us, an inkling of that mitzvahs have above. V'ilmalei lo banu ela b'shvil mitzvahs erev Pesach l'chud dayenu. Maybe a play on words, but it would be dayenu, it would be enough if we didn't come to the world but for the mitzvahs of erev Pesach. A person existed just for erev Pesach, that would be enough, says Rabbi Yerucham. I just want to add, that probably was a short mimer because they don't want to start Maariv late, the night of the Seder. You have to start on time. Frequently in his Shmuzin, he circles back. He elaborates a little more, he reviews, and he presents it even more fully. And then he has an idea that he starts somewhere, and then later he adds some details, and then he presents it all together. So to really appreciate his Shmuzin, you sometimes have to read a bunch of them and see how they kind of snowball. He repeats an idea, but with more mixed in. So later he was talking about the Sefer Tomer Dvar, which I think some of you were with Representative Kamenetsky. So Tomer Dvar is a very deep Sefer, but as you know, it's based on the idea that Hashem's midos are meant to teach us what are midos. Hashem, those midos are not descriptions of Hashem. They are midos that he manifests. Hashem is inscrutable. We can't describe him, but he shows midos to us, which we're supposed to emulate. Kael, Rachum, Chan, and Erech, but those are things that's just for man to emulate. Hashem himself, we don't know. We just know he's Echad. It's infinite Echad. But how we're supposed to act, that he does show us. That's what the whole Sefer is about. He talks about descriptions of Hashem's midos, what we see, and then applies it, what that means for us. So interestingly, on the second day of Pesach, he rephrased a little bit of what we just read. This is a mimer you don't have. There's a few pages later. I have it here in the Sefer. He says as follows. If the author of Tomer Devorah, if he would speak about Kedusha, he doesn't. He talks about Kael Racham. But if he were speaking about Kedusha, Hayimasayim Bazal Pidarko, this is how he would end the chapter. This is a little bit, you'd say, almost presumptuous. Mashgiach is telling you what Moshe Cordovero would have said. V'kein, Tzarech ha'adam shi'is naheg lamata. And so, God is holy, kadosh kadosh, and so does man have to act down below. V'hi mitzvahs matzah. What mitzvah? Where do you see that in our mitzvahs? Matzah. Shematzah hi dugmasa. Matzah is, in our world, the concept of Kedusha. Shekol ofani asiyasa hu zahirus u zrizus. Because all it's whole, the way you make it is zahirus and zrizus, as we explained earlier. But that's only until you get to the finished product. What he's saying is like this. The Maseilas Yesharim talks about zahirus and zrizus. Then man reaches a certain level where he's like eliminated the Yetzirah. It's not that there are things in his character that he has to be wary of. He's supposed to have channeled everything, made everything pure. There is no more ra that he has to be keep on pushing out. Oh, get that out of here. Quick, move past that. Zahirus, zrizus. Now when he achieves Kedusha, which is very high level, I mean, we learn Musa Saram, they're way above us, but Kedusha is where there's no longer place for any Yetzihara to get in. What's matzah? The fully baked matzah. Now that you did your Zahirus and your Zahirus, now the matzah's baked. There's no more chametz. You don't have to rush. You know, you take it home in the box. It could have been baked months ago. There's no more. Matzah is Kedusha. Matzah is when you've made a product that is devoid of the Yetzihara. That comes with the Gebrucks. kind of runs again. But maybe that's why even Hasidim are makan and Gebrucks on the eighth day, they make a point of eating it to show it's just astringency. But really, matzah is Kedusha. There's no more place for the Yetzihara. And he says that's what it means. After it's baked, there's no more fear of chametz. She'ein sham kvar makom chalos ba. There's no chametz can't take effect anymore. That's the idea of Kedusha. It's already above Tev. It's beyond the Yetzihara. And he says, and that's why I said, matzah is lamala min hateva. Matzah is out of this world. Because we live in a world where there is constantly the struggle with the Yetzihara. When you're eating matzah, it's not the physical of the matzah. It's not the starch. It's the spiritual of the matzah. The spirituality of it is you're eating something that is beyond Yetzihara. It's from another realm. It's after you've already purified something from the Yetzihara. Yetzihara has no entree to it. You worked hard at it already. Now it's Kedusha. That's why matzah is considered a food from another realm. This is something for us to think about. The process of eliminating the chametz, the process of keeping chametz out of the matzah, and how matzah is ultimately, it's like something from another realm. A little something for us to think about as we prepare for Pesach from Rabbi Rucham Lubavitz. Okay, thank you.